Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
I'm assuming that most of you know that Adam and I go way back. When I was pastoring a church in Vienna for 16 years, we go way back to that time. But I was also pleased to see Chase Smith and his family come in this morning. And Chase was also a part of working with us there at Cornerstone. And he's a pastor in the Columbus area. And so I was very pleased to see Chase and his family with us today. And, you know, I was sitting up here just thanking God that we were saying about God's goodness and thanking God for His goodness. And we had something like 5, 6, 7 people over those years go into full-time ministry, and they're still in ministry. And so I praise God for that. That's a work of God's grace and through His blessing. Now, this morning, I would like for us to look at part of Paul's testimony that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" And so, here in these verses, the Apostle Paul is telling us about a troubling experience that he had, in that he refers to it as a thorn in the flesh. We're going to consider what impact that had upon Paul's life. How did Paul respond to it? How did God respond to him? What was the ultimate conclusion of the matter? But first, in the passage just prior to the one that we read, Paul had another experience that some might refer to as an out-of-body experience, although Paul makes it clear that he couldn't say for sure. He said, "Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know." What he did know was that he was caught up into heaven, where he heard unspeakable words, words that are not lawful for a man to utter. Paul was essentially saying that it would be a crime for him to even attempt to express what he heard. I just wonder today, have you ever had an experience in your life comparable to that, where it just seemed like words were utterly inadequate to capture, to express, to communicate what you were feeling inside? Maybe it was an overwhelming feeling, a sense of love or joy or peace or gratitude, or even on the other side, maybe it was an overwhelming sense of grief. And it just seems like words could not express what you were feeling. Words fell short of trying to capture and to communicate what you were feeling and experiencing inside. Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I was in heaven and I heard inexpressible words. I can definitely identify with that because I had an experience with God and heaven that completely changed my life. And when I tried to communicate to my family and my friends this new found salvation experience that I had in Jesus, when I tried to communicate that to them, it just seemed like words were woefully inadequate to capture, to express, to communicate what it is that was going on inside of me. It was really too wonderful for words. Sometimes it's like that in prayer. Sometimes there are no words in prayer. Someone once said, when prayer reaches its ultimate, words are impossible. The Bible says it like this. Look at this. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And Paul, who wrote those words in Romans, he also went on to say this in 1 Corinthians. Well then, what shall I do? I will pray in the Spirit. Think about this. I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing in words that I understand. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 20, as King David tried to recount all of the beautiful, wonderful things that God had done, he came to the place where words fell short. He said, I love this statement here. David said, what more can David say to you? There weren't enough superlatives to express the praise and thanksgiving to God. And then he went on to say, for you know your servant, sovereign Lord, for the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. How great you are, sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. There is no God but you, as we have heard with our ears. Paul had an experience with God that was beyond description. And because of the abundance of the revelations he received, he also received a thorn in the flesh to restrain him, to keep him from becoming conceited and puffed up with pride. And that's always the danger, isn't it? When God does something great in us and through us, the danger is to begin to think that we somehow deserve it, or we had a part in causing it. And the I word in our speech reveals this when we say, when I finally had enough faith, when I finally said the right things, when I finally did the right things, then God saved me and healed me and blessed me. Folks, listen to me very carefully. The truth today is everything that we are, everything that we have, everything we will ever be is because of God's grace. Our justification, our sanctification, our future glorification is not something that we earn by merit. It's not something that we cause or deserve or can take credit for. It is God's grace, His all-sufficient grace. We earned and deserved judgment and death. But God, in His mercy, does not give us what we deserve, and God in His grace gives us what we don't deserve. Grace is God's unmerited favor in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And here it is. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, should not perish but have everlasting life. And then verse 17 is a very important verse. Sometimes people leave that off. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not with Him also freely give us all things? And then we read in the Gospel according to John chapter 1, a great verse in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. Now look at this. Jesus, the Word made flesh. What? Full of grace and truth. There's a verse that says the truth is in Jesus. Jesus is the source of grace. And then a few verses later, look at this. For of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. I wonder today if you, sometime in your life, if you ever had this experience where you take your ATM card. Has this ever happened to anyone? You take your ATM card and you think you have certain amount of money in there. And you put the card in and insufficient funds. Has that ever happened? You don't have to confess today that's ever happened to you. But folks, listen, with God's grace, His grace is never insufficient. Aren't you glad for that? God is able to make all grace. Look how many times the word all is used here. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. We don't work to be saved. We work because we are saved. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. But understand today that the essence of sin, think about this, the essence of sin is self-sufficiency. The essence of grace is God sufficiency. But even when God does a work of grace, there's always that danger there. There's always a danger lurking that spiritual pride will rise up. There's always the danger to think that we, human vessels of God's grace, that we begin to think in terms of cause and effect, as if we caused it or made it happen. When a viper attached itself to Paul's hand on the island of Malta, he shook it off. And what did the people do? The people tried to defy him. They told him, "You're a god." And then when Peter and John, you remember, they were going up to the temple to pray, and there was this man who was lame from birth, and he was laying there. And Peter and John reached out to him, and he was miraculously saved. And then the people gravitated toward Peter and John, and Peter said, "Why look at us as though through our own power and godliness we made this man walk?" And then Peter pointed them to the true source of grace and healing. It's in Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. It's by His power that this man was healed. Now, that brings us to the problem that Paul had to deal with. Because of the abundance of revelations, because of the wonderful things that God had revealed to Paul, the things that God had done in Paul and through Paul, there was this danger of pride and self-exaltation. It was the very thing that brought Lucifer down and caused this whole cycle of sin and death. Where Lucifer said, I will exalt myself and I'll be like God. And to keep Paul from exalting himself into some destructive realm of spiritual pride, God mercifully, mark that, God mercifully allowed Paul to have this thorn in the flesh. Now, what is this thorn in the flesh, okay? What do we know about this thorn in the flesh? First, let me mention what we do not know about it. I want to cover a few of the popular theories about this. Theories that are very plausible, but they're not provable. What are they? Well, some say that this thorn in the flesh was persecution and opposition, and Paul certainly had lots of that. I mean, they talk about Alexander the coppersmith. That man gave Paul a lot of trouble, and Paul was constantly battling him, and then the Jewish officials and the Roman government and all these outside forces, Paul was constantly battling. And so there are people who say, well, this thorn in the flesh was persecution and opposition. And then there were all kinds of personal attacks around and in the church even, where people were constantly questioning Paul's credentials, his apostleship. And they were attacking him. They attacked his speech. They said his speech is unimpressive and contemptible. They attacked Paul's appearance. There are many that believe, many historians say that Paul was very short and thin and frail and bald-headed, and he wasn't impressive physically. Basically, for lack of better words, they were just going around and saying that Paul was boring and ugly. Now, a good-looking, boring person is one thing. An ugly but interesting person is another. But when you're boring and ugly, then you have a problem. Okay? I just thought I'd throw that in for your charge this morning. But look, in all seriousness, the proof of Paul's apostleship was not in his success. It wasn't in his appearance. It wasn't in his ability to speak. It was in his sacrifice and his obedience. That's what proved him to be God's chosen apostle. But let me give you another plausible theory. And these are very plausible. Some people believe what I just was saying here. And then there's others that believe that Paul's thorn in the flesh was a very serious vision and eye problem. And he had this chronic problem in his life. We remember when Paul was saved, when he was converted, he had temporary blindness, and then Ananias had to pray for him. His scales fell off of Paul's eyes, and there are many who believe from that moment on, Paul had a tremendous problem seeing. And there's compelling evidence for this debilitating problem that he had. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, look at this. He talked about having a chronic bodily illness. And he said to the Galatian church, if possible, you Galatians would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. And then when he came to the end of the letter, he said, notice how large of letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. Paul's vision was so bad that he could barely write a letter. And it might explain why Paul failed to recognize the high priest in Acts 23, verse 5. And historians tell us that Paul squinted and he had sores about his eyes and so forth. And so there are people who say, and it's very plausible, they say Here Paul was, who was used in miracles, used in healing people. God used him to bring healing to others. And now he has this physical affliction. So he was crying out saying, this thorn in the flesh. He was crying out and saying, God, please heal me. Take this away. Let this depart from me. And so there's so many more I could. There are other theories that I could talk about this morning. These are all plausible, but they're speculations. We do not know. But what do we know? That's what I want to get to. What do we know for certain? We know that this thorn in the flesh was not some minor problem or irritant or nuisance. It wasn't like Paul had a splinter in his finger that was going to eventually work its way out. In fact, this word thorn could be translated stake. It was like Paul had a stake driven into his flesh that impaled him and hindered him. It was a great hindrance. And so Paul was begging God. That's what we also know. We know that Paul prayed over this problem 3 times. He was begging God, take it away. Let it depart from me. But God did not take it away. We also know that God did answer Paul's prayer. God answered him. And what did God say to Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Here's the heart of my message today. I'm suggesting to you that Paul received something greater than healing, greater than deliverance from the thorn in the flesh. Paul received grace, and he came to understand what it was that he received, the all-sufficient grace of God. Folks, listen to me this morning. So many times we ask God to take away, where we're asking God to take away the very things that He's intended as instruments of grace and strength in our lives. It may be a person. It may be a circumstance. It may be some physical affliction. And we want to get rid of it because we don't like anything painful or unpleasant. Paul didn't like anything painful or unpleasant. He was human. And so we ask God to take these things away when God may be wanting to use them as a source of grace in our lives. I've been dealing with something that I've labeled as a thorn in the flesh. And now wait a minute here. Don't even think it, okay? If you're thinking that I'm talking about Jamie, shame on you. I want to go on record. My wife is a rose, not a thorn, okay? And, you know, I want to just give a testimony today. September 1st, right around the corner, coming up, 44 years. 44 years. And I know, because you know how I know that? Because I calculated it. And it came out to be 44 years. And I'll tell you what, my wife deserves a medal. Don't everybody say amen at once, okay? Those of you who know me, you know me well, okay? But here's the thing, okay? Paul did not tell us specifically what the thorn in the flesh was, because his thorn in the flesh may not be ours. Every one of us here today, we probably have something that we deal with that we might, to one degree or another, label as a thorn in the flesh. And like Paul, you see, when we pray, when the thorn in the flesh is there and we pray and it's still there, and it doesn't move, there's grace. Grace that saves us, grace that strengthens us, grace that keeps us, grace that helps us to understand the plan and the purposes of God. I want you to look at this key statement that I wrote here. I'm going to be done in 2 minutes, and then we're going to have communion. But I want you to look at this statement I wrote here. It's only at the throne of grace that we will ever understand the thorn of grace. You see? Do you see the connection there? This thorn, this bad thing. It's only at the throne of grace that we will ever understand the thorn of grace. It's only at the throne of grace that we are ever strong enough to be weak and weak enough to be strong. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know what you're going through today. It may seem just like what I was talking about, like a thorn, a big problem. But I close with this. Paul came, I was going to tell you what the conclusion of the matter is. Paul came to this conclusion. He came to this understanding. Therefore, most gladly, listen to this testimony. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Can you imagine that? I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, Paul discovered something. He came to understand something here about life through all the things that he went through. When I am weak, then I am strong. It's God's grace, His all-sufficient grace.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.